Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Well, open your Bible with me today to Matthew 21. Matthew 21, it's in the New Testament. Matthew 21. I'm excited about our new series. New month, new year, new you, new me, new series. We're talking about how to pray and get results all during the month of February. So you pray for me that God will give me the right words to say, will you? And that God will help me to communicate that which He wants communicated on the subject of how to pray and get results. Now, I just want to say right up front that this whole month, I'm not going to get into the mechanics of prayer. That might surprise you. For those of you who've been around for a while, pastor's going to, I know what he's going to teach about. I just want to tell you something. I've been a Christian for 50 years, and I got a whole lot to learn about prayer. Anybody else with me? I mean, I've been a Christian for over 50 years, and I feel like I know about that much about prayer, okay? And I know maybe you're saying you've been here with me for a long time. You say, he's going to talk about the 7 different kinds of prayer. Nope, I'm not. He's going to talk about how to pray the word, or how to pray the prayer of agreement, or how to pray the prayer of faith. No, I'm not even going to get into that. I'm not going to get into any of the mechanics of the how-to, really. How to pray and get results. Yeah, but I'm not going to talk about the mechanics. I'm going to talk about the mindset. The mindset. Ooh, doggies. The mindset is more important than the mechanics. You know, sure, the mechanics, you know, we know that we're to pray to the Father. You don't pray to Jesus. You pray to the Father in Jesus' name. And we pray always in line with the Word of God. That's about as much as mechanics as you're going to get out of me this whole month. I want to talk about the mindset that gets results to our prayer life. Is that okay? You know, if I were to ask you the question today, now this is not for you to, don't say it out loud. This is just a thought-provoking question. If I was to say to you, describe to me in one word your prayer life. Describe to me in one word your prayer life. What would that one word be? You know, for some people, when they think of praying, they think of it's the last resort. Well, I tried everything else, so I guess we better pray. Well, my brother and sister, we don't want it to be the last resort. We want prayer to be the first choice. Prayer being the first response, not the last response or choice. Some people, when they think of prayer, they think, well, a begging God, that God is a mean God, that God is a cruel, hard God up there, and we have to beg God. And, you know, you have to climb. I've been to Monterrey, Mexico one time, and I remember the pastor showed me these stairs on the side of the mountain. On top of the mountain were 3 crosses, and on these stairs, steps, there were glass and rocks, and he told me, he said, many people, they crawl up those stairs thinking that they're going to reach God that way through punishment. Prayer is not punishment. Prayer is a privilege. Amen. Some people, when they think of prayer, they think of bribing God. Bribing God. I know you've never done that, but I've done that in my walk with God at times. Bribe God. Some people, when they think of their prayer life, they think, you know, it's just bargaining with God. Have you ever made a bargain? Don't raise your hand. Have you ever made a bargain with God? Oh, yeah, we get into trouble. God, if you'll get me out of this, I'll go to church every Sunday morning. Praise God. God, if you'll deliver me from this financial, I promise you, I'll tithe for the rest. Bargaining with God. I mean, you know, that doesn't work. Bargaining with God is the wrong mindset. Begging God is the wrong mindset. Bargaining and begging and all that, you know, with God, that's a wrong mindset. You and I, we want to work, I think, I want to work on my mindset even before my mechanics, because a lot of times we'll go through the formula and get no results. Why is that? Somebody else said they prayed this 3 ways, 7 ways, 5 ways. They got results. I tried it. I didn't get any results. I think it goes back to the heart. I think it goes back to the mindset. I think it goes back to how we approach God. Can I have an oh me, amen something? Thank you so much. So if I was to ask you, you know, what would your one word be that would describe your prayer life? So for some people, it's boring. But I think for you and me, it's exciting and growing, all right? And energized. And we can think of words. So I want you to think about that one word that would describe your prayer life. We don't want it to be ritual. We don't want it to be just a routine. We don't want to just go through the motions. We don't want to just rub the beads and say a few words. There's more to it than that. It's a relationship, right? Yeah. And so to have an effective prayer life, to have an effective prayer life is so important because my prayer life determines my life with God. My prayer life determines my walk with God. If I want a strong walk with God, and we all do, strong walk with God, then I've got to have a strong prayer life. My prayer life determines the kind of life that I have walking with the Lord. But my prayer life determines my walk with God, and my prayer life, let me give you one more in the sequence here. My prayer life is determined by my picture of God. My picture of God, my perspective of God, determines the kind of prayer life that you and I have. Having the right picture of God is essential for having a strong prayer life. And having a strong prayer life, wow, is important if I'm going to have a strong walk with God. So I'm not going to talk about the mechanics, but I am going to talk about the mindset. Being as this is Super Bowl Sunday, and you all say the Chiefs are going to win. You know, I think of Vince Lombardi, you know, that great football coach. And it was said of Vince Lombardi that at the beginning of every football season, he'd bring the team in, set them down in the locker room, hold up a football and say, "Now, boys, this is a football." What was he talking about? The fundamentals. I think we've got to have the fundamentals down. I think we can never get away from the fundamentals and the foundation. And what is that? That my life with God is a reflection of my prayer life. Strong prayer life, strong walk with God. But my prayer life is a reflection of how I see God, is how I perceive God, is my picture of God. So now I want to throw out another thought-provoking question. Not to answer out loud, but just for you to think about it. If I were to ask you, give me one word that would describe your God. Give me one word that would describe your God. What would that one word be? For me, I can tell you, my one word, when I think of God, my Heavenly Father, I've got one word, and my word for my God is good. He's a good God. That's my God. Somebody said, I think it was Paul in the book of Romans. He said, it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. So when people see the goodness of God on our life, it's a witness to the world who's watching us. Amen. So what would be that one word that would describe your prayer life? And then what would be that one word that would describe your God to us, to your children, to your grandchildren, to your friends? So I want to talk about the mindset that we need in order to get results when we pray. So let's begin. Let's go to Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. I love this verse. And look what it says. And whatever you ask. So notice whatever. God's interested in your whatever. And notice you have to ask. Well, Pastor, God's God. God can do anything. No, he can't. God will not transgress your will. God will not impose himself or intrude or interrupt your life without your permission. Yeah. God is a gentleman. He needs our permission to invade, interrupt. He needs our permission to get involved in our life. You say, Pastor, I don't know if I agree with that. Well, at the end of the service, we're always going to have a next step. And notice, God is not walking the aisles with a shotgun, forcing people to come forward and get saved. We are free moral agents. God doesn't make us serve Him. God doesn't make us live for Him. God doesn't make us give. God doesn't make us pray. God doesn't make us go to church. We have what we call the privilege and power of choice. And I think the Bible says we have not because we... And I think a lot of people don't ask because they have the wrong mindset, picture, image of God. They have the wrong perspective of God. And don't forget, our perspective of God, our picture of God, is a reflection. It's reflected through our prayer life. So notice, everyone say, whatever. So God's interested in whatever you're interested in. Isn't that an amazing thought? You know, I know all of us want to be good parents, those of you who are parents. All of us want to be good parents, and we want to be good grandparents if you're a grandparent. And some of you are great grandparents. You're really young. And we all want to be good parents, good grandparents, good great grandparents. Can I have a witness? So here's what I know. If you really want to be a good father, a good mother, you're going to be interested in what your children are interested in. If I want to be a good grandparent, then I'm going to be interested in what my grandkids are interested in. Well, how much more is our Heavenly Father gooder, excuse me, all you English teachers, how much more is our Heavenly Father gooder than us? So evidently then He's interested in what you are interested in. So He wants you to talk to Him about what you're interested in. How cool is that? You know, raising our sons, you know, they were interested in stuff I wasn't interested in. But you know what I did to be a good parent? I knew I'd have to get interested in what they were interested in. Some of the things that my grandkids are interested in, I'm really not in the natural interested in, but I decided I'm going to get interested in what they're interested in because I want to have a good relationship with them, right? Well, how much more, our Heavenly Father, we're talking about mindset. God wants you to talk to Him. God wants your presence. God wants your conversation. God wants to be with you and me. God wants us to tell Him about our interest, our desires. He gave you your interest. He gave you your desires. Come on, somebody. So notice that God, my God is good. My God is interested in what I'm interested in. What I like, He likes. Because He put those likes in me. And He wants me to talk to Him about my likes and my interests and my desires and my dreams because He gave them to me. Amen. It's not going before God to, you know, for God to punish us. It's to go before God and celebrate our relationship, right? Improve, empower, get closer, get to know. So look what He says here. And whatever, so God is interested in whatever you're interested in. And whatever you ask for in prayer, now my prayer is a reflection of my picture of God. For in prayer, having, oh my goodness, so a prayer doesn't work unless it's full of faith. Prayer doesn't move God. My begging, my pleading, my bargaining, you know, my badgering. God, how come? God, how come I got to wait so long? How come it hasn't happened? God, where are you, God? God, how come? I'm badgering God. That doesn't move God. Badgering God, I've done it. Doesn't move God, I know. Got the t-shirt. Begging God, that doesn't work. I tried that. It didn't work. Aren't you glad I'm telling you all things that don't work? Begging God, that didn't work. What works? Believing in God. Oh, come on. I don't understand that, Pastor. If God's good, isn't He moved by my needs? Oh, God cares about our needs, but God is a God who set things in place, in order, called laws. One of them is called the law of faith. The law of faith. Even though God wants to, God can't without faith. Even though God would like to, God cannot without faith. God cannot help us. God cannot intervene for us. God cannot do a miracle for us without faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. He's a faith God, and he operates by faith laws. So he won't break the law. I know that he's a God of integrity. So if I want God to move in my life, he moves in my life through prayer. But not just prayer. It can't be begging prayer, badgering prayer, bargaining prayer. It has to be believing prayer. It has to be prayer full of faith. Can I have an amen in that? Wow. So he says that I have to ask in faith. You know, as I study the Gospels and I look at Jesus and how he did miracles for all those people, you notice there's always the phrase, according to your faith. See, what God does in your life and my life today is not according to his ability. What God does in my life and your life today is not according to what he could do. It's only according to what he can do. It's not according to what he could do. It's only according to what he can do. And he can only do what I believe him for to do. Wow. So in faith, and really, oh, I like the Amplified, as I like that word in the parentheses, really. Really. I got to know a real God to have real faith. Really believing, then you will, no doubt, receive. What's the prerequisite for receiving? Really believing. Now, here's what I know, not to condemn anybody, but I've been a Christian for 50 years, and I've heard a lot of Christians think they were believing, but they really weren't believing. They were a wishing. Y'all are so awesome. And a hoping. You met those folks too? They were a wishing and a hoping. Here's how it goes. They go to a prayer line for healing. You pray for them in the name of Jesus. You do all the mechanics right, and you put it in order, and you lay hands on them, anoint them with oil in the name of Jesus, and you ask them, you know, did you receive? I hope I did. Are you healed? I hope I'm healed. That's not faith. That's a hoping and a wishing. Guess what? They didn't receive. I'll never receive through wavering. I'll never receive through a hoping and a wishing. I got to really believe. I got to really believe. What is really believing? Really believing is when you're fully persuaded like Father Abraham in Romans chapter 4. Really believing is that time can't take it away from you. Disappointment, delay, opposition, persecution, giants, pressure, contrary circumstances can't take it away from you. Being fully persuaded, God said it, I believe it, that settles it, I stand on it, right? Notice I got to really believe. It's not I pray and then I'm wishing and hoping I'm not going to receive. Whose fault is it? Not God's. Not God's, because God said he cares about our whatsoevers, our whatevers. But he said he can't meet our whatever unless our prayer is in faith. And faith is believing when you can't see it. Faith is being fully persuaded. Faith is you know and you're knower, no matter how long it takes, it's yours by faith. Faith in God is being fully persuaded that time can't take it away from you, that opposition, that tests and trials and challenges and doubt and fear and unbelief and contrary circumstances can't get you to waver. You are solid as a rock. Amen. I remember, you know, when Kim and I got out of college, we had to do an internship for 3 months. And that internship, we did it in Mason City, Iowa, First Assembly of God Church. And we lived in the Sunday school superintendent's basement for that summer. And when that was over, then there we were. We were to go into full-time ministry, but we had no place to go. Well, at the very beginning of the summer, God just dropped a word down on the inside of me. And how many of you know, you got to get a rhema word. You got to get a specific word, a personal word, a right now word from the word. And God just dropped down in my spirit at the very beginning of that summer in Mason City, Iowa, that before the summer was over, we'd have a place to go. We'd be in full-time ministry as youth pastors. Well, all summer long, you know what Kim and I did? Kim said, are you sure? And I said, yeah, at the beginning of the summer. I said, I'm sure, without a doubt, we're going to have a place to go by the end of the summer. And we just began to confess it, decree it, believe it, stand on it. And 1 month went by. We didn't hear anything. We'd send out applications. We'd send out this, that, and other resumes. No results. Second month of the summer, same thing. But we kept saying, you know what? We're going to have a place to go by the end of the summer. We were really believing. We weren't wishing and hoping. We knew in our newer. It was supernatural. It was the gift of faith. It was a word from God. We were, no one could talk us out of it. Time couldn't talk us out of it. People couldn't talk us out of it. Culture couldn't talk us out of it. Yeah. So we just kept saying, by the end of the summer, we're going to have a place to go. Well, the very last week of the summer, we packed up. I had a Gran Torino, you know, like Clint Eastwood in the movie Gran Torino. Had a Gran Torino like Clint Eastwood in the movie Gran Torino. Had a Gran Torino. We loaded it all up with our stuff from the basement of the Sunday school superintendent we were staying with. Still had no place to go, but we weren't moving. We weren't changing our confession. We were fully persuaded. We were really believing, bless God. And you know what? The very last week, there was a phone call. We were in the basement, and they had a bar down there, you know, and they had where they had refreshments, and they had a landline. Does anybody know what they had a landline? They had a phone, seriously, on the side of the wall. Had a long cord. Theirs was white, the phone. And I remember that they yelled down from upstairs, Dave, there's someone on the phone wants to talk to you. So I picked up the phone. It was a pastor. It was a minister. I'd never met him before. We had been saying all summer long, before the end of the summer, we're going to have a place to go, full-time ministry, right place, in Jesus' name. Really believing. We weren't wishing and hoping. But God gave us a right now word. You know what? I believe God's going to give you, if he hasn't already, a right now word. Don't let go of it. Cling to it. Hang on to it. Confess it. Decree it. Declare it. Wow. Be fully persuaded. And anyway, as a pastor, he said, you know what? He goes, I'm looking for a youth pastor. It was First Assembly of God Church in Ames, Iowa, Iowa State University. He said, we're looking for a youth pastor. We heard that you were sending out your resumes. Why don't you stop on the way by? We did. He hired us before the end of the summer. Oh, isn't God good, family? What happens when you really believe? You will receive whatever you've asked for in faith. Amen, church. Amen. So I want you to go with me, if you would, to the next scripture, Psalm 9. Let's go there, Psalm 9. And you know, Psalm 9, verse 10, I want to read it to you. Then I'm going to give you, I think, the mindset of answered prayer. And really seriously, you know, Kim and I, we went to the ministry in 1975. How long ago is that? A century? I don't know. 1975, we went into the ministry. So this is all my years of ministry on teaching on prayer. I've taught in Bible colleges. We've had our own Bible college here. I've taught on prayer. I've taught so many sermons on prayer. That is probably my biggest file in all my files upstairs in sermons. But I want to boil it down just to 3 points of what I think makes prayer work. Can I do that? Can I take 40 years of ministry and condense it in 3 points? Okay. So let's read this first. Those who know your name. Wow. So knowing God is a prerequisite for answered prayer, right? Because my picture of God determines the kind of prayer life I have. You know, someone was telling me this week, and I get it, they were talking to some family in our church that was going through a really bad time. But this family in our church, we've been there, we're not condemning, but this family in our church, they were mad at God. Blaming God, saying, why didn't God do something? Why did this all happen? Remember, God's got to work by laws. If we break the law of gravity, God can't help us. If we break the law of nutrition, oh, I can't go there on Super Bowl Sunday night. Erase that from the tape. Praise the Lord. If we break the law, the speed limit, Charles Capps used to say the angels jump out of our car. Right? There are laws. And it's so true. So those who know their their God. You know his name. Did you know there's over 100 names of God in the Bible? Over 100 names of God. And every one of those names are important because they reveal his nature. And you got to know God's nature if you're going to ask God correctly. You've got to know God's nature if you're going to approach God correctly. Amen. And so he says, those who know your name, if I know God, then I'll trust God. If I'm having a problem trusting God, it's because I don't know God. If I can't trust God with time, if I can't trust God with treasure, if I can't trust God with my family, my finances, my future, it's simply because I don't know God. So in getting to know God, I'll begin to trust God. And I can't walk with God without trusting God. You know, some people think they're walking with God and they're really not walking with God. What do you mean, Pastor? Did you know you can be a Christian and not walk with God? I know they're in a church far, far away in another galaxy, Pastor. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. You can be a Christian and not walk with God. You see, to walk with God means to keep in step with God. Walking with God is not behind God or in front of God. Come on, somebody. There are some people who try to walk in front of God, do it all for God, right? And there are some people that are lagging all the time behind God and not up with God. To walk with God is to be in agreement, and in sync and in step with God. I can't be in sync and in step and in alignment and agreement with God if I'm not trusting God. If I'm not trusting God, I get out ahead of God. I get ahead of his timing. If I'm not trusting God, then I'm lagging behind and I'm not walking in obedience. So to walk with God, I have to trust God. And I can't trust God without knowing God. Are y'all with me? And I can't know God without studying the names of God, over 100 in the Bible. So he said, those who know your name, they trust in you, for you are Lord. You are Lord over my time, over my timing. If you made him Lord over your timing, then you won't get stressed out over how long it takes or how short it takes or how others are getting ahead of you or how it doesn't look like it's ever going to happen. If he's Lord over your time, you're going to trust him with your time and his timing. Is he Lord over our finances? Is he Lord over our health? Is he Lord over our career? Is he Lord over education? Wow. If he is, then I can trust him in those areas of my life. So he said, those who know your names will put their trust in you, for you are Lord, and you've never forsaken those who seek you. Well, I like that last part because psychologists tell us that one of our major fears that you and I have, number one is the fear of public speaking. Did you know that? That's number one. But another fear that you and I have is the fear of being rejected. The fear of being rejected. We don't like to step out a lot of times because we're afraid we'll be rejected. Well, I just want you to know God will never reject you. God will never, ever, ever reject us. Now, remember, I'm not talking about the mechanics of prayer. I'm talking about the mindset of prayer. Are you with me? Now, follow me very closely. Guilt doesn't work for a motivation to pray. Guilt doesn't work. Sure do love you. Guilt doesn't work for a motivation to pray. Wow. If I feel guilty because I haven't prayed today, and that guilt pushes me to pray, that's only a short-time motivation. And it steals from me the experience I could have with God in prayer. Guilt and condemnation for not praying is the wrong motivation to pray. I should never put guilt on anybody for not praying, because that's the wrong motivation to motivate you and me to pray. What should be our motivation? We shouldn't try to drive people to a prayer life through guilt. Well, if you don't pray, God's going to get you. If you don't pray, you're not a good Christian. If you don't pray, you're a lousy person. If you don't pray, you know, it's not going to, if you don't pray, wow. All that does, it doesn't drive me to God. It drives me away from God eventually because I don't feel like I can measure up. I don't feel like I'll ever be good enough. Am I helping anybody? So guilt is the wrong motivation to drive people to pray. Watch this now. Another word, letter G. Grace will draw me to pray to God. Guilt tries to drive me, wrong motivation. The right motivation is God's grace. God's grace should draw me to want to be with God and want to talk to God about my interests, my desires, my dreams, His purpose for my life. Are you with me, family? Grace over guilt. Did you know that I got to pray today. I haven't got my time in. I got to go pray. Did you know that faith won't work in an environment of guilt? Did you know that? That if I'm praying out of guilt, that my prayers aren't even getting past the ceiling. Because faith can't work through condemnation. Faith cannot work through guilt, shame. Prayer can't work. Faith can't work in prayer through guilt, shame, and condemnation. And it's the devil. It's religion that tries to get you and me to feel guilty. Talking about mindset over mechanics. I can have my mechanics down. Oh, I know, in the name of Jesus, bind, loose, and this and that and the other, and seven steps. But if I feel guilty, if I feel condemned, if I feel ashamed, then it doesn't work. Because faith can't operate under a cloud of condemnation. So what I want to do is focus on the grace of God. And the grace of God, oh, I got to hustle, is everything that God is, everything that God has, and everything that God can do. And when I think about my God, my one word is God is good. And when I think of the goodness of God, wow, I can't but wait to get in His presence. And He listened to what interests me, what concerns me, what motivates me, what inspires me, the dreams, the desires, the purposes that He put within me. I can't wait to spend time with God when grace draws me. It's the goodness of God that draws people. Come on, somebody. And so, man, I'm not getting very far, am I? Hallelujah. But let me give you one more scripture. Can I have a little more? Can I have 5 minutes? Okay, let's go to Psalm 31, verse 19. Ooh, I like this one. How great is the goodness you've stored up for those who reverence you. God has goodness stored up for you and I. How do we tap into it? Through prayer. But not just the mechanics, but the right mindset that we don't come to Him out of guilt. We come to Him out of His grace. It draws us. What is God's grace? All that God is, all that God has, as the team comes out, all that God can do. It's the goodness of God. Didn't David say, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life? Didn't David say in Psalm 27, I would have quit. I would have given up. I would have stopped. I would have backslidden. I would have went back into my old ways, except I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Are you expecting to see the goodness of God through your prayer life, your time with God, your encounter with God? I believe you are this month. Amen. Okay, so how great is the goodness you've stored up for those who reverence you? You lavish it on those who come to you for protection. Look at this, church, blessing them. Them who? Who come to God out of God's grace and God's goodness. How good He is, how great He is, how kind He is, how merciful He is. He says, blessing will come on you. And the whole world will watch the favor of God, the hand of God, the blessing of God, the power of God, the anointing of God, the grace of God. The whole world will be watching how good your God is to you. Oh, come on. Can we have a praise break? So let me give you those 3 points. I promised you, right? So here's what I think, having the right mindset. You got to know these 3 things. Number one, we've got to know who God is. We've got to know who God is. If I'm going to pray right, then I have to have the right picture of God. I don't have to badger God, bargain with God, beg God. I don't have to belittle God or be bitter at God. All I got to do is believe in God. But my believing in God, if I do or I don't, is a reflection of how I see God. So if I want a strong prayer life, I've got to know God. The more I know God, watch this now. Let's don't get the cart before the horse. The more I know God, the better I pray. The more I know God, the more I know God. He's a healer. I know how to pray. He's a provider. I know how to pray. He's a peace giver. I know how to pray. He's a restorer. I know how to pray. The more I know God, the better I know how to pray. Are you with me, family? So number one is what? Know who God is. Number two, this is 40 years of ministry. Prayer, boiled down to 3 steps. Know who God is. Number two, know how God works. A lot of people don't know how God works. They don't know God's pattern. Do you know God? God works in patterns, in principles. God works in patterns and principles. And if I don't know God's patterns, if I don't know how God works, then I'll get frustrated with my prayer life. Do you know how God works? Through sowing and reaping. Through sowing and reaping. Do you know how God works? God says, if I'm selfish, He won't answer my prayers. Did you know that? If I'm selfish, He won't answer my prayers. If I'm in strife with my husband or wife, He won't answer my prayers. If I'm in strife, He won't answer my prayers. If I'm offended and bitter, God won't answer my prayers. That's how God works. That's how God works. If I want to receive, I've got to give first. If I want finances, I've got to give finances. That's how God works. If I want friends, I've got to be friendly to black, white, brown, red, young, old, rich, and poor. I got to respect one another if I want friends. That's how God works. A lot of people, they want to pray, but they don't know God's patterns. They don't know how God works. I've got to know how God works. God says that if I'm prideful, He distances Himself from me. That means if I'm unchangeable, I'm adaptable, I'm not flexible, I don't bend. God says, if you're that kind of person, God says, I don't even have an encounter with you. Oh my goodness. How does God work? I have to humble myself. If I want God to promote me, I've got to be faithful with what I've got today. That's how God works. God, give me more. But until I'm faithful with what I have, God won't give me more. Am I making sense? I have to know how God works. You know, if I break the laws of nutrition, break the laws of rest, break the laws of the land, break the laws of gravity, I'm going to suffer the consequences. I've got to know how God works. You understand what I'm saying? 40 years of ministry, 40 years of teaching on prayer, I think it boils down to these 3 things. If I could only say 3 things, if this was my last sermon and God raptures me this afternoon on my motorcycle, it's 67 degrees, praise the Lord. I'm feeling led in Jesus' name. If this is my last sermon, this is what I would share. How prayer works. How do we have effective prayers? Number one, you got to know who God is. Number two, you got to know how God works. And number three, you have to know what God has promised. Thank you, Lord. You can't claim what you don't know. You can't claim what you don't know. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Y'all heard the story of the lady who bought a ticket to come from Europe to America on a cruise ship. And she stayed in her cabin the whole time and she ate cheese and crackers. At the end of the cruise, the captain saw her on deck and the captain said, where have you been? She goes, well, I've been in my cabin. And the captain said to her, what have you been doing? She goes, well, you know, I've just been in there and reading this, that, and the other. And what have you been doing for food? Well, I've been eating cheese and crackers. And I really couldn't afford to go to the buffet on the cruise ship. And the captain said, when you got the ticket, it was all paid for. You could have eaten anytime you wanted to on the buffet. 724. What's that? We can't claim what we don't know. We need to know and familiarize ourselves with the promises of God. Now, here's what I do know. Next step. What's the next step? Pastor, I want to know God, but how do you know God? Read the Bible. Get a Bible reading plan. Pastor, I get it. Man, you talk about the patterns of God. I never put those two together. I didn't put the dots together. Wow, I could be praying things, but if I don't know how God works, see, it's seed time and harvest. So there's going to be some time, a lot of times, between you believing and receiving. There's going to be some times. If I don't know that it takes God time to work with people and circumstances, then I'll get tired of waiting and give up. I've got to know God has timing. And how do you find out the patterns of God? By reading the Bible. And the last, where do you find out what God has said and promised? By reading the Bible. So what's our next step for February? Fall in love with the Bible.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.